Tonight we're in 2 Timothy chapter 3 verses 10 to 17. So that's on page 1196 if you've got a church Bible. So 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 10 to 17 on 1196. You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings. What kind of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra? The persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil men and impostors will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learnt it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. This is the word of God. Great. Do take a seat. And before we start, let me pray for us. Father God, as we look at your word, as we study your word, the Bible, open our hearts so they might understand it and help us to live it out. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're looking at 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. So if you've got a Bible, it might be great just to turn to that. That's on page 1169. Just imagine a non-Christian friend came to you and said, I've been to Enfield. You read the Bible a lot at Enfield. You know, why do you do that? Why do you read the Bible so much at Enfield? I wonder how you'd answer. How would you answer that question? Because it's a great question, isn't it? The New Testament was written about 2,000 years ago. The Old Testament was written about 3,500 years ago. I don't know about you, but I don't regularly read any other book from way back then. It talks about people we've probably never heard of, and sometimes it's hard to pronounce their names. It talks about places we're not aware of, cultures we're not familiar with. So why do we read the Bible? Why at Enfield do we put so much emphasis on the Bible and also give people 20-30 minutes, just chance to explain it, like I'm doing tonight? Well, the answer is going to be found in 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we're going to particularly look at verse 16, and just to focus on that, just to say, you know, why is the Bible so important? So as we look at this passage, let me remind you what's going on here. So Jesus died, rose again, and went to heaven about 30 years before this letter was written. And the letter was written from Paul to a young man, probably in his 20s or 30s, called Timothy. He was a man who was a pastor of a church in a town called Ephesus, and that's in modern-day Turkey. And he was having a really hard time. He was having a really hard time in Ephesus because there was a group of people who claimed to be Christians, but who were twisting the Old Testament to say things that it wasn't saying. And so Paul writes to Timothy to encourage him to keep on using the Bible, to keep on speaking and preaching about the Bible to the Christians in his local church. And this is how he encourages him. Take a look. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So the way that Paul encourages Timothy is to remind him that the Scripture is God-breathed. But what does it mean for Scripture to be God-breathed? Well, the word Scripture was the way that the Jews referred to the Old Testament. That's how they would refer to the Old Testament. They would call it Scripture. So as Paul writes to Timothy, in his mind, he is talking about the Old Testament primarily. And so he goes on to say that all Scripture is God-breathed. And God-breathed is a funny word, isn't it? it makes me think of God just breathing out. And as he does, the Bible appears. And that's the sort of image that we need to have in our minds. You see, there's a connection between breathing and speaking, isn't there? So as I speak to you, I'm inhaling into my lungs. And as I exhale, the air passes over my vocal cords and I speak to you. So there's that connection between breathing and speaking. So often people will look at the Bible and call it God's word. Now the jargon word that people like to use for scripture being God-breathed is something called inspiration. And I mention this because in the last few evenings we're doing a series on doctrine. So we're looking at different aspects of doctrine. So last week we looked at God. This week we're looking at the Bible. Next week we're looking at the human race. And we're working through a doctrinal statement from an organisation called the Fellowship of Independent Evangelical Churches, or FIEC for short. And the doctrinal statement for that organisation is exactly the same as the doctrinal statement for this church, Enfield. So the part in the Bible, it says this, and this is why I was talking about inspiration. God has revealed himself in the Bible, which consists of the Old Testament and New Testaments alone. Every word was inspired, that's why inspiration, by God through human authors. So the Bible, as originally given in its entirety, is the word of God, without error and fully reliable in fact and doctrine. So when it says that the Bible is inspired, it means God breathed, you know, breathed out by God. But maybe you've noticed a bit of a problem, In 2 Timothy 3:16, Paul was talking about scripture, which I've said was the way the Jews referred to the Old Testament. So what about the New Testament? Is the New Testament God-breathed? Is the New Testament God's word to us? Well, the answer is yes, of course it is. The New Testament is as much God-breathed, as much inspired as the Old Testament. And so let me show you where I get that from. Okay, so we're going to have a look at what Peter writes in his second letter. Have a little look at that. So it's 2 Peter 3:15. It says this: bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother also, Paul, also wrote to you with the wisdom God gave him. Paul writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things which are hard to understand, which ignorant, unstable people distort, and here it is, as they do the other scriptures to their own destruction. Have you just seen what Peter's just done there? He's just said, Paul's letters are scripture. That's what he's done. So we're going to have a look at another example of this. We're going to have a look at Paul writing to Timothy in his first letter. For the scriptures say, do not muzzle the ox which is treading out the grain, and the worker deserves his wages. Now that first quote, do not muzzle the ox when it's treading out grains, comes from Deuteronomy, okay, in the Old Testament. But the second quote comes from Luke, chapter 10, verse 7, the worker deserves his wages. So have you seen what he's done? So Paul has said that Luke's gospel is scripture. So that's why we say both the Old Testament and the New Testament is scripture. They are both God-breathed. They are scripture. So both the Old Testament and the New Testament is completely God-breathed and useful for teaching, correcting, and training and rebuking. But what does this mean for us today? What difference does it make to know that the Bible is God-breathed to us here at EFC? Well, although we only looked at four words from verse 16, I'd like to try and apply them to us here at Enfield. And there are three ways in which they affect us today. So the first one, we must listen to God by reading the Bible. The second one is we must read all the Bible because it's all God-breathed. And the third one, we must believe the Bible because it's God-breathed. So first, we must listen to God by reading the Bible. Every part of the Bible is God-breathed. That's what Paul is saying. So as we read the Bible, we're listening to God speak to us. Isn't that just an awesome thought? As you read the Bible, it seems very ordinary, doesn't it, just reading a book? But as you read the Bible, God is speaking to you. And think about who is speaking to you. This is the Lord Jesus, who placed the millions and billions of stars into the sky. He controls the thunder and the lightning. I don't know about you, but I feel so small when I hear the thunder and see the lightning. And that's Jesus who controls it. It's Jesus who designed the human body. And this same Jesus wants to speak to us. The magnificent God of the whole universe wants to speak to you. Isn't that amazing? Imagine you go home tonight, and completely by surprise, you get a phone call from someone quite famous. For some reason, they found your number and rung you up. And they're one of your heroes. I don't know who that would be for you. For me, particularly after this winter, Andrew Strauss is a particular hero of mine. If you don't know, he's the England cricket captain who won the Ashes. So imagine, for me, it'd be Andrew Strauss. Don't know who for you. Imagine they called you tonight. And yes, it's Sunday night. It's the end of a long day for most of us. It's long end of a long week. You've either got work or school or looking after the family tomorrow. Do you hang up? Of course you don't. It's your hero. You want to speak to them. It's really important that you hear what they have to say. But the Lord Jesus is so much greater than anyone in this world. So much greater. We want to listen to him. We want to hear from him. It's something to get excited about the Bible. It's not just an ordinary book. It's a brilliant book that we can hear the Lord Jesus speaking to us today. Isn't that an awesome privilege? So how are you doing at reading the Bible? How are you doing at listening to what God says to you? I'm going to focus on our individual Bible reading, because what we do in private, what we do on our own, probably reflects a little bit more about us than what we do in public. Because sometimes, I don't know about you, but myself, I do things in public just so other people can look at me and you know, think good things of me. But what we do in our own rooms, on our own, is quite a good reflection of where we are. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if in a group of Christians this big, that there might be some people who've stopped reading the Bible. It might not be through any deliberate fault of your own, but over a period of time, you've read the Bible less and less until it's just completely gone. Or perhaps you're a new Christian and just the thought of reading the Bible, where to start? I don't know where to go. Where shall I start in this huge book? It can be quite daunting, and so you never really started to read the Bible. Well, if this is you tonight, can I encourage you to repent? And what that means is just to ask God to forgive you for neglecting his word, and asking that he will give you the desire and the strength to start reading the Bible again. If you're going to start reading the Bible again, let me make a suggestion. You can, and I would encourage, if you can, going for those four chapters a day or two chapters a day. But if you can't, that doesn't work for everyone. If you can't, why not start small and build up? Why not take a verse or two each day for a week? Say, right, this week I'm going to be reading two verses a day. That's not very much. It's doable, isn't it? And then the following, why don't I read four verses a day and just build up that way? Sometimes if we go straight into reading, you know, five, six, seven, eight chapters a day, that's a little bit too much for us, for some people. Why not start small and build up? Or if you're really encouraged and really inspired by this, reading the Bible in a year, which is a great thing to do, we'll do that. But as you start to read the Bible again, or as you start to read the Bible for the first time, be aware that health and circumstances can affect how much you read. So if you have a young family, and in particular if you're the mother of that young family, then it might only be practical to read a short amount of Bible verses a day. For myself, a single guy at Bible college, I'm probably able to read a lot more than someone who's got a young baby. So do make allowances for that, but do read it. Do read it. Don't just put it off till tomorrow. Do read the Bible. Nothing can be more important than listening to Jesus. But perhaps you're here and you'd say you weren't a Christian. And it's great to have you. It's really good that you're here. And you might have all sorts of questions about God. Is there a God? Who is Jesus? Is Jesus God? Can I, who've done all these things wrong in the past, have a relationship with God? Well, can I encourage you, the way that God is going to speak to you and reveal himself to you is not through a dream or through him appearing in the sky, but it's through the Bible. And you might be a little daunted in starting to read the Bible for your own and investigating the Christian faith. So can I offer you what's called Christianity Explored? What it does is a six-week course looking at the Gospel of Mark. And you can go along and ask any question. And the church here, we run a course on a Thursday evening down the road in the Emmanuel Centre. Why not come along to that and investigate and listen to God speaking to you? If you want to have a little bit more information about it, do go and ask Johnny. Do think that through. It'd be a great way to find out more about God, listening to him and listening to his word. So that was the first point. The second point, we must read all the Bible because all the Bible is God-breathed. Did you notice that little word all in 2 Timothy 3:16? Go back and have a little look at 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is God-breathed. So it's not the case that certain parts of the Bible are God's word and other parts of the Bible aren't. That's not the case. And it's not the case that certain parts of the Bible are more God's word than other parts of the Bible. All scripture is God-breathed. Every page that you would care to turn to, God speaks to you. Isn't that an amazing thought? But when you've been a Christian for quite a long time, there comes up times when there are things that you believe in your head, but sometimes you don't live them out in your life. So it's possible to believe in my head that all scripture is God-breathed. But actually, I don't live it out in my life by reading it, by reading all of it. So you might have been a Christian for a long, long time, but you haven't read all the Bible. That's an example of where I've got something in my head, but my life is not living it out. So not reading the whole Bible is like getting a long letter from your boyfriend or your girlfriend or your husband or your wife, throwing away the first two pages and just reading the last one. It's silly, isn't it? You'd never do that. And yet, that's what we do if we do not read the whole Bible. So have you read the whole Bible? Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying read the whole Bible so that you can boast about it or brag about it or think I'm a better Christian now that I've read the whole Bible. Reading the whole Bible is about wanting to listen to God. That's the right motive to read the whole Bible. But have you read the whole Bible? Is that something that's on your radar? Have you thought about doing that? Someone's worked out that the average reader, if they read for 12 minutes a day, would read the whole Bible in a year. 12 minutes. I don't know how your day fills up. Mine fills up quite quickly. And I use so much more time on other stuff. 12 minutes is nothing. I probably had breakfast longer than 12 minutes. Is that something that you could do? Maybe set aside 12 minutes, 12 small minutes in a day to start reading the Bible. for those people who really, you know, believe and live out this thing that all Scripture is God-breathed, then they'll be trying to read it, all of it. Again, if this is not a hard and fast rule. So if you don't find that it works for you, if you're finding that, you know, trying to read the Bible for 12 minutes a day makes you feel a bit guilty because you've missed it, and you find that something else works better for you, then use that other way. It's just one of those things that to show how little time it takes to actually read the whole Bible. But on the other hand, you actually might have read the whole Bible all the way through at one point in time. But you perhaps realise that there are certain parts of the Bible you avoid, like Tom was saying in before, that the Old Testament was a bit, well, I'm not too sure about that. I'm not going to read that bit of the Bible. In your head, you believe that all Scripture is God-breathed, but it doesn't show in your life as you perhaps avoid those books in the Old Testament and just stick to the New Testament and the Psalms and the Proverbs. Well, can I encourage you maybe to go home tonight and think through which books of the Bible you tend to avoid reading? Perhaps you don't particularly enjoy Leviticus, and you try and avoid Leviticus. All Scripture is God-breathed, including Leviticus. So why not, if Leviticus is on your list, well, put that down there and make a plan to go and read Leviticus sometime in the next few months. It may be the reason why you're not reading certain parts of the Bible is because you find them hard to understand, and you find it hard to see how they're relevant to your life. Well, if that's the case, why not try and scout around and think how to find maybe Bible notes that will help you. You know, as Johnny was saying and Tom was saying, reading it together with someone else is also a great idea. Why not have a think about doing that? Normally, two people can understand a little bit more than just one person. So why not have a think about that? And above all, pray. Reading the Bible is listening to God. And so if we're going to listen to God, we should ask for God's help as we listen. So pray and tell your Father in heaven that you find certain books of the Bible hard, and ask that he might give you a desire in your heart to read them, to understand them, and actually to get excited about them. Is that something that you could be praying in the next few days? Because God loves to answer prayers like that. So that's the second point. So the third thing we need to think about, we must believe the Bible because it's God-breathed. We must believe the Bible because it's God-breathed. We've seen that the Old Testament and the New Testament are all God-breathed. This means that as God speaks, he speaks with authority. So if God says something, he must mean it. And if it's the God of the whole universe, he must speak with authority. So if we read the Bible and we say that we don't believe anything in the Bible, or say that's wrong, then we're disbelieving God, aren't we? Because if God has said it's true and we say, actually, no, that's not true, we're disbelieving God. Take a look at the last bit of that doctrinal statement we're having a look at. The Bible alone speaks with final authority and is always sufficient for all matters of belief and practice. So the Bible speaks with authority, so we should believe it. And we should do it as well, belief and practice. The Bible says various things about people who just listen to God's word, listen to God, and don't do anything. So how do you react when you come to a part of the Bible you find hard? Now, I'm not talking about the parts of the Bible that we don't understand. Okay, there are lots of parts of the Bible that I don't understand. But there are parts of the Bible that we come to that we find hard because we don't like them. Or, they ask us to do things or believe things that we find difficult. And we do this because we are sinful people. Even if we are Christians, we still have sin within us. So when sinful people, even Christians, meet with and read God's holy words, of course there's going to be things that we find hard and we don't particularly like. Let me give you a personal example of this. A couple of years ago, my mum died, and as far as I know, she did not believe and trust in the Lord Jesus. Now, the Bible says that people who do not trust in Jesus, God, with no pleasure at all, will shut them out of the kingdom and send them to hell, and that punishment will go on forever. Now, emotionally, I find that really hard. I do. And as a result, I'm left with three options. I can do one of three things with that thought. Either I can tell myself that the Bible is not true. I can say, actually, all people go to heaven. I could say that. That's one option, option one. Option two, I can try and twist or distort the Bible and say things that it doesn't actually say. So I could say, well, actually, after a time, mum will get to heaven in the end. I could do that. Or the third thing is, I can believe what God says, even though it's emotionally hard. If all scripture is God-breathed, option one and option two are out. I cannot say this is not true, because I'm basically saying, God, you're a liar. And option two, about distorting scripture, I'm actually saying, well, actually, God, I can write the Bible better than you. So the way that I handle it is to pray to God and to say to him, actually, I find this hard. I find this hard, Father. He cares for me and he wants to listen to me. But I also acknowledge in my prayers that the Bible is his word. And what he says is true. And what he says has authority. If he says it, it must be right. And at the end, at times, I'm just left with that tension. I find something hard. But I say to God, you are God, and your word is God-breathed. I've got to believe it. So what is it in the Bible that you find hard? What is it in the Bible that you find hard? Maybe you're in the same situation as me, where you've got a family member who has not accepted the Lord Jesus and has died. And that is actually quite hard. That's very hard. It could be the truth that before the beginning of time, God chose people who are going to be saved while passing over other people. And you might find that hard because you think to yourself, well, what about those people that God didn't choose? What happens to them? Is that fair? Maybe you're finding that hard. Or maybe you find the truth that sex is only to be enjoyed in heterosexual marriage. And anything outside of that is sin. Maybe you find that hard because you want to sleep with your boyfriend or your girlfriend. Whatever it is, we must remember that because all scriptures God breathed, as Paul has written, then to disbelieve the Bible is to disbelieve God. It's actually to call God a liar. And so I'm not saying it's not going to be difficult. Sometimes it can be difficult. Sometimes we're tempted to do things. Sometimes we find things that God says hard and difficult. But we must accept them. And yes, sometimes we're left with that tension. But can I encourage you to pray to your Father in heaven if you have that tension or that finding things tempting, and say, Father, I'm finding this really hard. I know that your word is true. I know that your word is what you say, and I cannot distort it, I cannot deny it. Please help me to live it out and accept it. And sometimes that involves living with that tension at times. So as I close, let me tell you a story that is to encourage us to read the Bible, to remember how important the Bible is. I'll just flick that one off. Imagine Jesus was coming to Enfield. So I'm not talking about his second coming. I'm talking about like a mini visit to give us a message. I know it's not in the Bible, but just roll with it. A huge stage is erected on the town park, and thousands of people camp overnight just to listen to what Jesus has to say. You know, you might actually be there, you know, saving up all your money to try and get a space to listen to what Jesus has to say. So for those unable to get a space on the town, park, live links are set up to the Emirates and White Hart Lane so that people can actually watch and hear the Lord Jesus. And on the day, there are hundreds, there are thousands of people camped out in the town park. And there are huge amounts of reporters and journalists. BBC, ITV are there, CNN, all the news channels are there with resident experts ready to analyse everything that Jesus says and report it back to the waiting world. Then at last, the moment arrives. And on the platform, there are all the really important people. The Queen, David Cameron, Johnny Prime. And it's Johnny, because he's leader of Enfield Evangelical, gets up from his place on the stage and says, "Lord Jesus, we're really happy to have you here. The weather's great. There's no hurry for you to rush what you have to say to us. Please take all the time you need. We've got hours and hours ahead of us. Please take your time." So Jesus gets up and walks to the microphone and says, "Thank you for inviting me. Thank you all for coming. All I want to say to you is found in this book. Please read it. Thank you." And he leaves. Let me pray. Father, forgive us for times in which we often neglect your word, when we choose other things above reading your word. Father, we thank you for how awesome it is that you want to speak to us. Father, as we leave tonight and as we go into the next week, Father, please encourage us, inspire us to read your word more, because it's you who is speaking to us. Father, thank you for speaking. Thank you, you are a speaking God. And thank you that the Bible tells us about the Lord Jesus, and help us to listen to your word more and more. Father, if we've not read all the Bible, then give us a desire to do that. And Father, pray particularly for us who find certain parts of the Bible hard. Father, help us to fight the temptation to deny them or to distort them. But Lord, help us to pray to you and acknowledge this. You are right, and to submit to your word. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.